will be in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll start by reading it. Paul says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come quickly," or shortly, it should be, or quickly, "to me. For Demas has forsaken me, and having loved this present world, and is departed into the Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, and Titus, unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antiochus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when you come, bring with you, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, and the Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he has greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and I will preserve, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, the house of Onesiphorus, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubus greeted thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." It's hard to read that when I know some of them words are just, it's fighting in my mind trying to spit out the ones that King James said. Okay, back to the first verse again. We've come to a place in Paul's life when he knows his life is coming to an end. We can agree on that, can't we? So now he's leaving the last little wrap-up for Timothy, because he considered Timothy his spiritual son. Okay? He said, "I charge," and then the word charge doesn't give us much meaning in the language we use today. When you charge, you're running at somebody, or you're charging a battery up, or something, you know. But this word literally means, "I confirm to you." Okay? He said, "I'm confirming to you, therefore, not before God, but in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge." And we know when we talk about judgment, everybody thinks negative, don't they? Judgment's a bad thing, but judgment's a good thing. When he judged on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They're ignorant." He said, "Not guilty," basically, didn't he? Okay, was that negative or positive? That's positive. It's as positive as it can be. See? But they don't understand that. There's two aspects to it.
It's just a decision.
But the decision was a good decision.
Yes.
But this judge shall judge the not quick, but the living and the dead. He'll judge all humanity. And there's only one word that he can give. Not guilty. That judge is going to, if there's any judgment coming by, and as far as I'm concerned, I think the judgment's already passed. When he died, he said, Father, forgive them. Do you think his father didn't forgive him? No. So as they walk before the judge, if they walked before a judge now, what would he have to give them? Not guilty.
They're acquitted.
They're acquitted. See, it's all over. So I really believe it's over with, but I think maybe some people need to experience it in their life and believe and realize that it's already a done deal.
It's like everybody has to go and say, am I guilty today?
Yep. Yeah, you don't have to. You need to experience the fact and realize the fact, remember the fact that you've already been paid for. If you can remember that, it'll set you free. I don't have to be, I'm not bound under the law anymore. As I was talking with a gentleman last night, he was talking about, he went back and sat into this Jewish thing. I don't remember the words for it. And he said, they couldn't understand about everybody making it. And I said, well, listen to what you said. You know, just what you spoke last night, he wasn't worthy to be part of the Christ. He said, well, that's for them people, you know, like not him, but them people. I said, well, how can you say you're a son of God, but yet you're not worthy to be the son of God? Do you think Jesus walked around saying, oh, Father, I'm not worthy, I can't do this? Could you imagine that happening? I can't picture that. The disciples said, Lord, increase our boldness. We've never seen anybody as bold as you. He wasn't afraid of anything because he knew his Father had control. How should we be walking this earth? Same way. That's why it was written in here. That's that square and level and plumb ball I'm talking about. That should say, hey, that's the way I'm supposed to be. It's a reflection showing you I should be that way. If he was that way, I should be that way. And what you should really say is not, I should be that way. You should say, if he's that way, I am that way.
Just like we said, our words mean
something. Our words mean something. See, I am that way. Because what? Because I was born a son. It wasn't what I did. I didn't be good to become a son of God. I'm a son of God because he gave me birth. And I'm not talking physical birth. He gave me spiritual birth. And when he did, I was already a son. Didn't know it. For several years after that, before I ever had any idea that I was a son. But I've become now to understand, I'm growing up some. I'm going to be this where I am, this rios. See? I don't have to wait to be anything. I am. That is something freeing in your mind if you can get your language changed. People just don't realize how much those little prepositions and articles mean. And I never realized when I was in school, I wished I'd have paid a whole lot more attention. It'd been a whole lot easier for me today. But for me, nothing ever come easy. You know, just, it was my own hard-headedness that got me in trouble. See? Okay. We're still not finished that first verse. But he will judge the living and the dead, not at his appearing, but it should be by the appearing of his kingdom. Changes a little bit, doesn't it? They'll be judged by the appearing of his kingdom. See a difference in that wording? New American Standard says it that way too. But the word kingdom, do you remember what it is?
Basilia.
Basilia. And it means what?
Rule
or realm. See, God is not ruling an organization. God is not ruling this planet per se as telling it what to do every day. He set the planet up, and the planet responds accordingly in its seasons, doesn't it? The only thing God is ruling is you. And when you submit wholly to him, he has full control over you. Then guess what? There should be no complaining, no murmuring, no losing of tempers. Thank God there's grace that covers when we slip up. Okay? But we shouldn't be, should we? We have no justification to be mean to somebody, to yell and scream at somebody. We just don't have that right. Not as sons of God. If I truly believe I'm a son of God, could you imagine Jesus doing that? I mean, that's just saying, ask that question to yourself anytime something comes up. Could I expect my big brother to act like this? You already got the answer, haven't you? See? So how can I do it? How can I do it and then say, well, it's okay, and then do it again? Say, it's okay, I can do it again. Justifying is just a lie unto yourself. See, we've got to learn to take responsibility for ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with assisting someone, especially someone you love, if they do something wrong. Say, is that really the way the child of God would work? You know what I'm saying? Can you understand what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. We should be doing those things. Just like if your children do something wrong, you correct them, right? Is that correct? Okay. So why shouldn't you correct your spouse in the right manner? Or anybody else in that matter, for that matter, anybody. Why shouldn't you do it in a very loving, teachable way, not condemning them? Just say, is that really the way you think we should be reacting to this situation? Putting them in a spot, they got to look at something. Yeah. And see, you're doing them a favor by letting them bring their thought process back to center line so they can see clearly rather than trying to judge it from that altitude or depth of some emotion.
Are you really going to let that thing control you?
That's what I'm saying. And it does, but you've got to be very quick. You know, just like King David. How many times did he mess up? You can't count them all.
That's a natural thing for men.
Yeah, but what did he say quickly every time? Father, don't take your spirit from me. I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. He was. But see, David was a learning process. He was a tool for us today to learn how to deal with it. If I make a mistake, you don't need someone to tell you you made a mistake. You knew it before you actually did it.
You knew it as you did it.
As you did it, you knew it for sure at the latest, didn't you? So then, who judged you in that instant?
Me.
You judged yourself. You know you did something wrong. So it's up to you to correct it. And only a mature son would say, Father, I blew it again. Sorry. A mature son would say, hey, I blew it. I did it the wrong way. I mean, I'm sorry. Got me. Wasn't intended, but it happened. Let's just move on. And you go on. You don't stay there, do you? Don't stay there and feel sorry for yourself because you got in trouble. Not sitting there worrying about somebody telling on you and going to hell for it. No.
The guilt will keep you right there.
Sure it will. And you've got to get beyond that. But it's his rule and realm we're going into. When he moves in and takes over, guess what? The judging is complete. It's complete then. Look at verse 2. Preach the word. There's the message. Preach the truth. Doesn't make any difference whether people like it or not. Preach the truth.
It's a spiritual word.
Oh, it is, definitely.
So logos.
Yep, logos is the spiritual word. Preach the spiritual word. Spiritual word is truth, isn't it? And didn't Jesus say, I am the truth? Okay, he says, be instant or ready in season. Now, the word in season kind of hits the target, but not really. It should say, be ready when the opportunity occurs.
Now.
All the time. That's right. Now. Or, the next one says, out of season. And the rest of that is, be ready when the opportunity occurs, or in the lack of opportunity. Even in the lack of opportunity, be prepared. So that should say, there's always something ready to roll. It's not that you sit down and plan anything, just let the Spirit of God flow through you. I couldn't count the times, don't care to, it didn't make any difference. I'm not counting numbers. How many times I'd sit down and a situation would come up and boom, it would go into something and just things start coming out of me. And I said, it's almost like I could go over and sit down in someplace else and let this person take care of whatever's going on here. I'm sitting listening saying, it's pretty neat. Just like it just takes off. And it's cool.
It's so easy when that happens.
Oh, there's no effort at all.
Whenever you can tell when it's not.
You.
Happening, when you're trying to push it, do this, might as well just
yep.
Stop.
Yep, just wasting your time. Human effort. Okay. He said to reprove. Now, what does the word reprove mean? It means to correct or show one his fault. Show one's fault and help him correct it. Rebuke, okay? Exhort, that means comfort and encourage people, okay? With all long suffering or with all patience. Need lots of patience. And doctrine, and that's instruction or teaching correctly, you know, the truth. Okay? Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or opinions free from mixture of error. They're not going to endure that one that's free from mixture and error. Are we here? Are we there now? We've been there since the first century. People don't want the truth. Lois has noticed several times on conversations when I'll be talking on the phone, I'll put on speaker so my hands hurt. And we'll start talking about something and we'll hit something and I gotta go. Okay?
Yeah.
You hit the doctrine. They want to do it, but they want it their way. And a lot of them are still insecure in their area. They're young, coming along with it. No matter what their age, they're young in this understanding. So they still try to hold on to some of their church doctrine. They don't even realize it. Hey, I was as guilty as anybody. When I left the church system, I carried that system right with me, right in me. I didn't even know it.
Huh? 'Cause that's what you did.
That's where I was at the time. But I've learned to kick off more and more. I'll never forget hearing Willie Hinn preach about the Jews leaving Egypt and going to the Promised Land. And he said, and it says in Scripture, as they walked along, they discarded things all the way along. And they walked around for 40 years, and don't you know, they had to come back around somewhere and say, he said, isn't that one of them dirty diapers we left here when we went through here before? You know, wasn't that your shoe that you kicked off somewhere down through there? And wasn't that your chair that you thought got too heavy carrying anymore?
Jewel you thought was so important.
Yeah, here's that idol you've been carrying around. It's way breaking your back. Dropped it off.
It just got too heavy.
And I mean, that's what I think about. You know, as we walk through this walk, we're discarding things, everything that is not for us, but actually opposes us. We begin to get rid of them. It's a process. You can't do it all at one time. It's a process. And I hear those people doing it, but it's the same thing. I got to go. You know you touched the button, you know.
Not ready to give up.
And you know what? But this one guy in particular, he always comes back, and he, even if he didn't understand it, he'll say, you know, I don't think I understood totally what you were saying. He'll come back and ask something about it again, and that's okay. That's a good thing. He needs to think it out himself with his own process and see the rightness of the Spirit of God in it. That's the way you need to do it.
But it takes time sometimes.
Sure.
To be willing to give up. Come
to terms,
give up.
You plant the seed, it takes a while for the seed to come up and to get sprouted up and, you know, produce some fruit out of it. So it's okay. It's a process. I don't get upset about it. I just continue on. Okay, but they have this problem with sound doctrine, you know, the truth without any error in it, mixture. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having what?
Itching
ears. It says itching ears, and literally it's teachers in accordance to their own desires.
No, it's like when you think about itching ears, like a dog or a cat.
Yeah.
When you scratch their ears, it feels good to them.
Yeah. But think about it when it says they get them for their own desire. What do the churches do to find a preacher when one leaves?
They interview them. They want somebody that's going to follow them.
If they'll preach what we believe, amen, put them in here. I seen that years ago when I asked this Baptist guy, I said, you just interviewed for a new job. He said, yeah, I think I got them. Boy, I preached this, you know, down the line. And I said, but they already believe that, don't they? He said, well, yeah, that's our doctrine. I said, then why would they hire somebody to teach them what they already know? If I was going to hire someone to teach me something, I would want somebody who knew something more than I knew, wouldn't you? If I'm paying money for it. Just doesn't make sense. It just don't make sense.
That's what they
want to hear. Yeah. That's just what this verse is telling us. And they do it yet to this day, every day.
It's like satisfying that itch. Satisfy that itch or what they want to hear.
Absolutely. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to what?
Fiction,
falsehood, myths, or inventions of man. That's what it is. That's what they want. They think they have a better way. I think Ford said that, didn't they? They got a better way. Didn't work for them either. Not with me. They said, but you watch, in all things endure affliction. But you watch in all things and endure affliction. Do the work of a what? What is an evangelist? Now see, religion got you there. That's what they've told us. I'm not bad about it. I'm not upset about it. I wanted to hear that. Now, what it says, a preacher of the gospel, a preacher of the truth of God, not someone that travels around. So the church has made that evangelist into something, a traveling whatever, carpetbagger. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. See, it's not what we've heard. And now, see, you heard something today that changed something in your mind.
Well, I actually have it written right here. I didn't read it.
Oh, okay. You've heard me before. Did you?
Yeah.
See, but, see, we hear things and we pop out of our mind, that carnal mind, those cherubim up there, throw things out for you to confuse you and just to mess and muddy the water up all the time. And that's the thing we have to take. What he said, take every thought, what? To what?
The obedience
of
Christ.
Oh my. If we actually do that, how much problem will we have in the world? A whole lot.
Yeah, without,
I said in the world.
Outside of
that, yeah. That's right. In the world, you'd have plenty of it.
You'd have a lot of problems. You'd constantly be correcting what's inside of you. Too.
That's what it's about. If you take every thought captive, you're correcting your thought processes, sifting through them.
That's a good thing.
Absolutely. Make full proof, literally you should just say, fulfill your ministry. Okay? And it goes right back up to the beginning. He said, preach the word. That second verse. See, it's about telling. When people hear preaching, most people say, well, you gotta scream and you gotta yell and you gotta do these things and you gotta show these facial features. You know, you really gotta get adamant about what you're doing. Really? Where does it say that at?
Right next to you, gotta wear your finest garments.
That's exactly right. That's Proverbs 34:1, I'll guarantee you. But that's what they expect. People believe that stuff. They believe it. Because they want to. Seminaries teach them that thing. Huh?
That's engineers that they're getting.
Yeah. See, the seminary teaches that. And our country is democratic. Right? Mm-hmm. You see, God's not. He's theocratic. God says it and that settles it. There's no voting in the kingdom of God. They think they can change things and make it the way they want it. It's not within their power to do it. That's it. It's over. He said it. That settled it. And they can kick and flail all they want to. Eventually they'll give in. Sooner the better, you know, but that's up to them. Verse 6, it goes on to say, because I am now ready to be offered, or literally be poured out as an offering. And the time, or the set time, it's the word kairos, it means the set time or the proper time. So how many times did he try to kill Paul? Multiple times. He was stoned, there's all kinds of things done to him. And yet he was cast into the sea, there's all kinds of things done to him. Anyway, the time of my departure is at hand. It's the set time. He said, now it's time to go. I fulfilled my work, hadn't he? And see, we should be able to declare the same thing when it comes time. I know it's coming. It's time. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul knew he was about to die. It's all right. Didn't make any difference. Main thing is, fulfill the ministry. See? Make sure you get it done right. Get done, accomplish what God wants, not the desires, all the things that you want in life. If he gives you free time to run and play a little bit, that's great. But do what he wants first. Then you can have the rest of it. He said, I have fought not a good fight. What is it?
The
good fight. There's only one good fight. I have finished not my course, but I have finished the race. I've run the race and I've finished it. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is not laid up, but reserved for me, not a crown, but what?
The crown.
There's only one crown. It's the crown of righteousness of Christ, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me when? Not at the day, but in the day. In the day, and not to me only, but to all, not them, but the ones also that love his appearing. See, everybody don't love his appearing or his presence. Everybody don't love that. Obvious. They'll run from it.
You know what I was just thinking when you said in the day?
Yeah.
What happens in the day? The light shines.
Sure. Well, when the light comes on, that's his appearing. That's his presence.
I mean, all this is when the light's shining in you. When you're enlightened.
Well, the symbol, I mean, all these are symbols, and it's all talking, all these natural things are pointing to the spiritual side. It's like, say, just what you just said right there. It's all the same. Every one of them has a spiritual significance.
Spiritual light.
It's a spiritual light. It's a spiritual day. It's all spiritual. Is there something here? Yeah, there's a physical world, but I'm not interested in that one. That's not my focus. Okay? Verse 9 says, do thy diligence to come quickly to me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present, what? Age. Not world, but this present age. It's aeon, 165 in the Greek. And is departed to Thessalonica. Crescens went to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Okay? Only Luke is with me. He said, take Mark and bring him with you, for he is now profitable or useful to me in the ministry. Remember when Paul had a problem with Mark? Now, everybody says, well, Mark grew up. I got a different view of that. I think Paul grew up first.
Yeah.
See, Paul started out as a baby like everybody else. He didn't know everything. He started out as a young man in the Lord. He grew quickly, I'll give you that. But I think the time from John Mark and then it is just called Mark here, same one. Whenever he called him now, this late part of his life, he said, bring him, he's profitable to me now. He didn't see the value of John Mark back then. You know why? Because he was still judgmental. How about that? See, just because he was a prophet did not make him any better than us, did it? He had flaws just like we have flaws. Those things are put in there so you can see that. If you think about it, you can see those things that they had flaws just like we have flaws. And it does not disqualify you from being the King, the Son of God. Doesn't disqualify you because you got a flaw, does it? This is flesh. And this stuff ends up back in the earth where it came from. But we go back where we came from, back to our Father. We're not disqualified by all this crap in this world. We can go right on. Don't worry about it. He said, Tychus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas was with Carpus. When you come, bring with you the books and especially the parchments. That word parchments is skins, you know, of course, sheepskins. He said, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil, and the Lord will reward him according to his works. You know what Alexander's name means? Man defender. So he was justifying what they were doing. And him being a coppersmith, what he made?
Shackles.
Idols. Idols. You know, statues, you know, the little stuff to worship and jewelry and everything else. If he was a coppersmith, he could do anything with the metals.
He was a
creator. A man creator. Verse 15. Of whom you should beware also, because he has greatly withstood. That word withstood is literally opposed. He greatly opposed our logos. See, that spiritual word. He opposed it. He was defending this age. In verse 16 it says, at my first answer no man stood with me. Now that word was, I don't know what that word answer. How in the world they got that word answer, I would never guess. Because it said at my first defense, when he was called before Rome to defend himself for what he was doing. He said, no man stood with me. They were all afraid. They all cowered and ran away, just like he did Jesus when he took him to crucify him. But all forsook me, and I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. What does that make it sound like? Who else did that? Stephen did it and Jesus did it. See, it's a pattern. You can see, the people that was doing the worst to him, he said, Father, forgive them. They know what to do. Stephen said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Well, they were killing him, stoning him to death. That's our pattern. Is that one easy? No. Does it mean they literally have to be killing you?
No.
Could it be maybe running their jaws on you? Verbal assaults, and you still have to say, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Okay? Not easy. Jesus said that in Luke 23:34, and also Stephen was in Acts chapter 7, yeah. I had it there, and I couldn't figure out what it. I wrote Acts, and I actually put the S on the end of it, and I never usually did that. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, he said. So he knew that God was with him. And let me put it another way, not with him, but in him. He was in him. And strengthened me that by me is not a correct word. It's dia. But through me, the preaching, cross out that word, might be fully known. And there's that word, I think it's, gnosko is known, but epigonosko is the fully known. And that all the Gentiles might hear, cross out that might, because it's not supposed to be there either. Those are two doubt words they threw in there. That all the Gentiles hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, do you really think he was talking about a four-footed big giant cat?
No.
I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The devil as a roaring lion walks around seeking whom he may devour. If we don't take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, guess what the big cat can do? He can eat you up. You got to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Before I spit out words negative to my wife, what must I do?
Shut your mouth.
Take every thought captive. Is this going to be a positive response or is it going to be a negative response? It better be positive, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, we have to take that response because that thing is present with you. And just when Jesus was walking in the desert, he was in the desert for how long? 40 days and 40 nights. That was his time of testing. Okay. But it says the devil departed him for a season. That means he was coming back. As long as he was drawing breath, guess what? He had to deal with that devil in his head. That thing accusing him. You don't really think that the Son of God was really picked up by some demon with horns on his head and a sharp tail and a red suit and a pitchfork. People believe that crap. It was all going on in his mind. The accusations were going on in his mind. Where are you accused every day?
In your mind.
In your mind. There's where you have to take control of it. There's where you slay the dragon.
And you're the one who created
it. You create it and you can slay it. By taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Those are the important things the church world ain't told about. They said, put your money in the kitty and don't say anything bad to anybody's week and say three Hail Marys and a couple of this and that's and all these different mixtures and then you don't have to do nothing. You're fine. We got you covered. That is not what it's about. It's about you becoming just like Jesus. Could you imagine Jesus cussing somebody out? Come on. Well, I mean, that's the reality of the thing. Could you imagine him standing on a street corner as a preacher screaming in a megaphone, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Can you believe that? Would you imagine him doing that? Could you imagine the Apostle Paul selling cookies at Walmarts? Come on. I mean, this is the reality of something. You've got to get this back in check. That's not God. We've got to take control ourselves. Like this whole conversation started this morning about us taking charge of ourselves. I got to be responsible for myself. You have to be responsible for yourself. I'll help anybody I can help. But in the end, it's up to the individual, isn't it?
Yep.
How far do you want to go? It's up to you. If you got a ticket all the way, punch it. If you can go half the way, a third of the way, a quarter of the way, whatever, three quarters, whatever. Punch a ticket as far as you can go. I'll be there to help you. But I'm not going to condemn you for anything. It's not my place. I'm just saying we have to look at ourselves and hold ourselves to the highest standard in the land. And that's Christ. See, my standard is Christ, not anything else. When it said in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, says, don't remove the old landmark. What do you think the old landmark was? It was the cross. The nail pits in the wrists and the feet. See, your works and your lifestyle. There's marks in there. Don't remove those. Those things remind you of something. He could have healed them over and never ever seen another scar on his body, couldn't he? He didn't do it. You got to remember what those marks are for. Those marks came for something. They came for us. Sometimes I get emotional. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that either. Where did I leave off? 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me to his heavenly kingdom. Now, this is another one of those things. It's a spiritual realm, okay? It's a spiritual realm or his spiritual rule. When you become under his rule, you're living in his realm, his spiritual realm. But this thing about heaven is much a lie as hell. There's nothing in this Bible from one end to the other, in the Greek or the Hebrew, either one, there's not one place that says, when you die, you get to go to heaven. Show it to me. It don't exist, even in your English. It was contrived by preachers. When they come up with the concept of hell, they said if we can scare them bad enough, they'll all come in and let us protect them. And we can gather up all their money. And they said, well, wait a minute. If we got a bad place for the bad people, we got to have a good place for the good people. Well, God already had this thing figured out, but this is man's contrivance of heaven and hell. Because Solomon, who walked with God and was the wisest man to walk on the earth at that time, says, when we die, don't all go to one place? He was making a statement. That really wasn't the question. Don't everybody go to the same place? He said the same thing in 6 and 6. See? So, Ecclesiastes. People need to understand this stuff. How can you make a proper decision without having all the facts? Can you?
Well, they start creating on yourself then. They still have all the facts.
They still feel separated, so they have some place.
So they have to fill in the blanks with them cherubim up there, and religion does it.
When they talk to God, they look up.
Yeah.
Look in.
Right. You should look in a mirror when you're talking to God. Because that's where he's at, in you, that reflection. And these ain't just words I'm saying, this is the truth. And if we can see this, man, the pressure goes off. It doesn't make any difference what's going on. If when we go out today someplace, we got to maybe go meet with some people today. If we do, and we come back and the house is burnt to the ground, so what? I mean, we've done all we can do. We didn't have anything to do with it. See, that's the thing we have to understand. If I got a new truck sitting in the driveway, if someone stole it while we was in here today, and I go out there and there's nothing but a empty driveway, why should I be upset? I mean, I pay insurance, right? And they will buy me a new one, just like I had. Huh?
Just a little inconvenience.
Inconvenience is at the most. It's an inconvenience. I've been guilty of that in the past, very much so. But I've come to realize this is just stuff. There's only one thing that matters in life, and that's people. It's people. It has nothing to do with all this physical stuff out here. Inanimate objects that people want to kill people for. It's stupid. To take a life to get a hold of an inanimate object. I don't understand it. At one time I could have. I just don't understand it any longer. I thank God I can't. He's delivered me from that baby. Out of the mouth of that lion, I guarantee you. Just stuff. And the last part, 18, it says, to whom be glory, not forever and ever, but into the age of ages. Okay? Salute or greet Priscilla and Aquila, Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesimus and Phorus. Onesimus before us was the one that went to Paul first when he was in prison, when everybody got away from him. He wasn't afraid, he said, of his chains, him being locked up, and possibly of him being locked up by going to visit him. So he was a faithful one to Paul. And then Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. He said, do your diligence to come before winter. Do you think he was really concerned about winter time? What do you think he was telling you?
Before his time of death,
because he was just talking about it's his time to go. See, when you take these little things, this comes natural. You understand it. Without the facts, you can't understand this book. Eubius greets thee, and Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you. No, in the midst of you. And grace, the divine influence of God in the heart of man, and a reflection of that back in your lifestyle, right? Be where? In the midst of you. That grace be in you. The grace is something that is visible. It's not this ooey, gooey, mushy stuff that the church world has preached about. God's riches at Christ's expense, a little acrostic, has nothing to do with it. That's them things that just absolutely take you away from the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. Is that true?
Absolutely.
A lot of times it hurts. But it's the very thing. When a doctor takes a knife, a surgeon takes a knife and cuts into you and does heart work on you or spinal work on you or knees or anything, it hurts when he cuts you.
Oh, yeah.
It hurts to heal you up for a while. But when it gets done, it's all better. It's the same thing with God. God's doing surgery on us. He's changing our thinking process into the right thinking process. He's getting rid of all that old dead cancerous stuff in our brains. He's doing brain surgery on us. Exactly what it is. He's cutting away all that cancerous stuff in our brains that'll kill us if we don't get it out. That's all it is. And it's right in the midst of you, and everybody thinks that it's up there somewhere someday. And if there's anything that galls me is that. Talking about heaven up there, little log cabin in the by and by. It makes me sick. It really does. It makes a knot come in my stomach when I hear people talk about it. Because I feel sorry for them, but it still makes a knot in my stomach. But I feel sorry for them because I know they're ignorant and they haven't got anyone telling them the truth. So that's all I can do, tell them the truth. It's between God and the rest of them to straighten it out now.